11 score and 17 years ago. Well, doesn't have quite the same ring as 4 score and 7 years ago. A phrase made famous by Abraham Lincoln when he began his Gettysburg Address. But 237 years ago, a group of, I believe, 56 men gathered in a room, signed a one-page document, and began a journey that continues today. One of their primary reasons for signing that document was because of taxation without representation. Perhaps we could sign one today and protest taxation with representation. But it was a dream that they had, a vision that would cost them quite a bit. For some, it would cost their lives. For others, it would cost all that they possessed. And yet, they had this vision of something greater. This morning, we find that July 4th is quickly coming upon us. And it gives us a chance to remember and a chance to reflect. This morning we have a spiritual heritage, a spiritual heritage. I'd like for us to jog our memories a bit and to think of some of the benefits that we have as Christians this morning. Our text is found in the book of Psalms, the 68th chapter. Psalm 68, we'll be reading verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And this morning I'd like to look at some of those benefits. Some benefits we have as Christians this morning are not completely ours. We choose not to smoke or consume alcohol or take illegal drugs. There are benefits from that kind of a lifestyle. We believe in being faithful to our spouse of the opposite gender, and by doing so avoid diseases that only affect those who choose not to follow God's ordained path. We don't gamble, unless you consider the stock market to be gambling. We don't play the lottery. When we go to the gas station, we go to buy gas. Many of you, no doubt, have stood behind someone who was picking out those various little pieces of cardboard, laying out their money. On one occasion, I actually saw somebody win. I think it was like $6. Immediately bought two or three more tickets, took those, and proceeded to leave. Well, we don't gamble, so that leaves us just a little bit more to pay for our bills. Well, while those benefits are beneficial, both health and monetary, they're not exclusive to us as Christians this morning. There are a lot of good moral people who live by those same principles, those same guidelines. But this morning there are some benefits that only apply to us as Christians. And I'd like to look at 4 of those this morning. And the first benefit would be that of forgiveness. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus there in the evening in the book of 1 John, he was trying to explain to him what it would take to enter into his kingdom. He told him that he had to be born again, that he had to have his sins forgiven. Verse 3 of that third chapter of John, we find these words: Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that's a far cry from what a lot of people in this world believe today. It amazes me as I listen to the news or read the paper of how many people are going to heaven. I listen to how they share about the person's life, read in the paper, and see things that just make me shake my head. And I have to wonder how can the family believe that this person has made it to heaven? And yet, without fail, we always find that the bottom line is, well, they were a good person. They loved us, and I'm sure they'll make heaven a better place. Well, I'm not so sure. There are a few simple requirements that we find in God's Word that will qualify us for forgiveness. First, one must believe that Jesus died in our place. We need to confess our sins. We need to repent, and that is to turn away from those sins. And then we need to accept or receive Jesus into our life. A friend of mine from college had a background a little bit different from ours. He never went to church. He was in his late 20s, early 30s, and had never attended church his entire life. But one day, someone came to his door, knocked. He let him in, and he shared with him what we would consider the simple plan of salvation. We often think of them as the four spiritual laws. And at the end of that presentation, he invited him to pray. And this friend prayed and accepted Jesus into his life. Most of us here have a different tradition. In fact, most of us have been raised in church and have missed very few services. There's probably never been a time when we didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. There's probably never been a time that we doubted that he died on a cross in place of our sins. And yet, even believing that, we still had to come to the point where we accepted that forgiveness. Many of us, no doubt, have said in services similar to this. Oftentimes, during a revival service, no doubt, we've heard the word preached. We've sensed a moving within ourselves, God's Spirit speaking to us, and we've responded by coming to an altar much like this. I can still remember the Sunday morning that I knelt here on my right. And most of us, in the midst of our tears, confess our sins and at some point find that release from that guilt and that burden and that weight that we were carrying. And we find that we have had our sins forgiven. We usually stand and testify, and we have begun that journey, the journey of faith. We found forgiveness. And this morning, that is that first benefit that we have in being a Christian. As a result of that experience of being born again, we've become part of a family of God. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 tells us, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now, we probably don't fully realize the change that takes place when we become part of God's family, at least not here at Wise Ball. We're pretty much family to begin with. We're all sort of interrelated, one form or another, either siblings or parents or in-laws or whatever the case may be. Some of us, I guess, have been sort of grafted into the Wise Ball community through marriage. Others have been grafted in through their children being married. But we've become part of a family. And in some ways that we're intertwined even without the fact that we're part of the family of God. But this morning I'm sure you'll agree that being a part of His family, being a child of God, makes that family relationship a little deeper, a little more special. In the world, you have relationships. I used to work in a factory. There were a couple thousand people, I believe, that worked in this particular factory. We were divided up into departments, and you would sort of get to know the people that you worked with. You would spend 8 hours a day with them, although most of that time you were busy performing your job. But you would have some breaks together, and you would socialize a little bit. But when the buzzer sounded and you took your time card and punched that clock, you made a beeline for the door, and you were gone. Hardly thinking of those people until that next day when your shift began again, and you go through the same process. Rarely did you stand outside the factory and talk as we do here at Wise Ball. By becoming part of God's family, we find that there's a caring that goes beyond just the general acquaintance that the world has. We care about each other. We pray for one another. We're concerned about one another's lives. And yes, Destiny, we do talk about one another. But hopefully, and I believe for the most part, is because we truly do care and we're concerned. A third benefit I'd like to share this morning, and one which I believe makes the biggest difference in our daily walk, is the benefit of fellowship. Simon and Garfunkel wrote a song back in the late 60s. I'm not sure the title, and I don't know any of the main verses. You know, it's amazing that the world kind of writes their songs just like the Christians wrote the hymns. I'd ask if you ever noticed that, but we're not supposed to listen to those songs. So take my word, they do. They follow that same pattern. And just like with the hymns, well, the only thing that sticks in my mind is the chorus at the end of each verse. And Simon Garfunkel wrote this song, and the chorus went like this. He said, "I am a rock, I am an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island needs no one." Well, those words aren't true. We're not rocks, we're not islands. We feel pain, and we do need one another. God wants to have fellowship with us this morning. I believe that may be the greatest miracle of all, that He wants fellowship with me, and He wants fellowship with you. How greater of a privilege is there than to know that truth this morning? Galatians 3, verses 8 and 9 tell us, "And they heard the voice of God." Did I say Galatians on that? No. Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9. A little bit difference there. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" I'm not sure what all was involved in those walks in the garden. I'm not sure if they saw a visible form of God. I almost think they probably did. But I know that God wanted to come down in the fellowship with Adam and Eve. And I believe it wasn't just a one-time thing. I don't think God sat up there in heaven and waited for Adam and Eve to mess up and then suddenly show up in the garden and say, "Adam, where are you?" No, I think this was a daily thing with God and with Adam and Eve. And the beautiful part of it today is that God wants to do the very same thing with each one of us. We were created for fellowship, and it's a fellowship that we can have if we trust God. Have you ever wondered what that first evening was like for Adam and Eve? You ever wonder what kind of conversation they had? They'd been cast from the garden, so in the evening, I imagine they found them another spot to lay down. They probably took some leaves and made a little bed. And then they probably laid down, no doubt on their backs, looking up at the sky and all the stars. And I can just about imagine Adam taking a little bit of time, trying to get his thoughts through. He wanted to do this right, you know. Finally, he rose over and he says, "You know what, Eve? I'm sorry. I'm sorry you blew it today." No, I don't think, I would hope that Adam wasn't quite that naive. Husbands, we probably have done that. And as you know, it doesn't work very well. But I think somewhere along the line, they had to talk about what had happened that day. And no doubt they worked through it. For we find in the very next chapter that Eve conceives, bears a child, and she says, I'm going to paraphrase here, "I've received a gift from the Lord." Their fellowship was restored, and their fellowship with God was restored. Now, I'm not sure after that how that fellowship took place between God and Adam and Eve. I don't know if he still came down and walked with them in the cool of the evening, or if there was a difference there. I do know he still wanted to have a relationship with us. For we read just a few generations later in the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter, the 24th verse, the Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now, if we back up two verses, we read the words, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. I never really thought about that until the other day. 300 years is a long time. It's a long time for God to walk with you here on earth. But I guess when you live close to 1,000 years, maybe it's not as long as one might think. But I think of those among us this morning. One can't help but think of Robert and Ruth and the number of years that they've been able to walk with God and to have that fellowship. And you can hear it in their testimony. One thing that always strikes me is when Ruth testifies, she says, "I had a song on my..." Well, I'm going to insert a word here because I can't remember the word to use, "but I have a song on my heart." That song came from God. The song came because she walks in fellowship with Him. And we can have that same fellowship this morning. We can walk with God, we can listen to His voice, and we can have His song on our heart. Does it mean that we'll always feel like a Christian? Will we always feel like we're where He can speak to us? I don't think so. At least in my life, I haven't found that true. I go through times of struggle. There's times when I wonder if I even want to pay the price to remain close to Him. And I don't want to say this morning that it's my greatest temptation, because if I'm wrong, I might find out what it is later this week. But one of my temptations is to simply give up, to just quit. Not to go back and do anything, because there's nothing back there that would satisfy me, but just to quit, to give up. And I wonder, well, if I did that, well, what would I quit doing? What would I quit doing? Well, it would start by quitting the reading of God's Word. I would quit trying to pray. And I would probably quit caring about other people. I would probably become a little bit selfish, but that's only a temptation. I don't want to do it. I don't plan to do it. I want to keep pressing on, because I want that fellowship that I know I can have with God. This morning we can have that fellowship if it's what we really want. And like I said, it may not always be an emotional high that we feel. I kind of envision our spiritual walk in a physical sense, that there are times that we're on a mountaintop when we feel so close to God that we can't imagine life being any different. But then there's those deserts that we go through. Have you ever been through a desert? It can be pretty dry. And those are the times that we can't give up. We've got to just keep on doing what we know we need to do. A lady that had a big influence on my upbringing. She was the primary teacher, if I remember. I only have vague memories of being in Sunday school as a child, but I remember in preschool we were in a basement. You know, some things never change in the church world. A basement in a room with a counter built all the way around, or, you know, a counter, I guess you'd call it, a desk. The table was in the middle, and then we had these little bitty chairs. Some were painted red, some were painted blue, some yellow, but they were just little tiny chairs for little tiny people. I really only remember this lady being in that room about one time, but I'm sure, you know, it was much longer. But she led the singing that we children would do prior to our going to class. And the thing I remember the most was that she always had a smile, always had a smile. I grew up, made the wrong choice to leave church for a few years. But when God brought me back to the same church, the same people, I remember after I got up from the altar, after praying through, that she met me in the back, gave me a hug. We don't do much of that around here either, but we're family, we understand. But she gave me a hug. And she said, read your Bible and pray every day. Do I need to confess I haven't always done that? But that desire is still there to be with God. Well, finally we have the fourth benefit that I'd like to mention this morning. And that is a future lived in His presence. As Christians, we have a true hope of heaven and the hope of an eternity spent with God. And I have no idea what that all encompasses. But 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, as I read that verse, I believe that's just not in our future. It's not just when we arrive in heaven, but that includes our life here on earth. God has things that we can't dream of. But sometimes I like to imagine, wonder what it might be like. And the Bible class has heard this once before, and I'll see if Brother Robert remembers. But Brother Robert kind of made a promise with me. You remember that promise, Brother Robert? You promised that when we're in heaven, if I'm right, it's just if I'm right, there's a whole universe out there. Have you ever wondered what's out in that universe? Now, I didn't have as strict a background as some of you. And I had one of them little boxes in my home where you kind of watch things. And I saw a science fiction show that where they just traveled around the universe and met all kinds of people. I don't know if there are other types of people out there, but I know there's a lot of space. And if I'm right, Brother Robert and I are going to take at least one journey together. And we're going to float around the universe just to see what's out there. If I'm wrong, I'm going to sit beside the river of life. I'm going to take my harp, and I'm going to sit right beside Robert, and we're going to play a special together. All right? And you're all invited to come and hear that special. That's if I'm wrong. But whichever the case may be, it's going to be a wondrous, wondrous time. Does that help us in that hour of our lowest despair? I don't know. Thinking of going to heaven, I'm not sure it helps me that much. But just knowing that it's out there, maybe it does. Maybe it does. I know the older I get and the more people that are in heaven that I know, the more precious it does become. This morning, let us draw encouragement when we face another day, another battle, knowing that the benefits of being a Christian far outweigh those benefits that we would be missing out on. Well, I've already drifted a little bit from my notes, and I'm going to drift a little bit further because Luke tells me that you're supposed to stick to your manuscript and you're not to say anything else. Well, for all you young preachers, it doesn't always work that way. I'll tell you. I'll confess, at this moment right now, I feel a lot more relaxed than I did 30 minutes ago. A lot more relaxed. And I'm actually now enjoying being a part of this family a little bit more than I did a half hour ago. So I'd probably best just have you stand so we can close in prayer. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of this Wiseball Community Church. And Father, as we go forth this day, we pray that you will be with each one of us. Draw us closer. Help us in those times of struggle to cling to you, that we won't give up, we won't turn back, and we won't miss out on the blessings that you have for us. Just be with us, bring us back this evening, prepared to worship you. We give you the praise in Jesus' name.